Good evening. All righty. Let's turn in our Bibles this evening. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a couple quick comments before we get started with the message. Badlands Family Camp was awesome. It was a great time. If you tried to listen online, I'm sorry. It was a very large Quonset. but if you didn't get a chance to hear it, and we do have them recorded and we'll be posting them soon, I want to give props to Kendall. Kendall did a devotion, did a great job, spoke loud, clear, it was awesome. So it was great information. And Roger, your message was talked about more around the campfire than anything else. So good job, guys. It's encouraging. So I'll cut out a bunch of stuff just for the sake of getting us out of here on time. But every job that I've ever had, in one way or another, because I've most of the, well, not every job, but most of my professional career, in one way or another, there's always been some sort of leadership counseling, leadership program, leadership, you know, hoorah thing. And it's funny because every single one of them has its basis in Christianity. Every single one. And they take, and there's some really good things that come out of those. There's some really good self-awareness things for people that come out of those things. But one that was particularly impactful for me was years and years ago when I was still in radio. So this would have been a long time ago. But the program that they used, it was called Personal Best. And you could see scripture everywhere in this thing. But they didn't, because they had to sell it, they didn't call it, you know, Personal Best, a.k.a. the New Testament. But there were five things in it that were really, really useful and have stuck with me over the years. And really what they were talking about was mental well-being. Guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but especially amongst people under the age of 20, depression is at an all-time high. It is the highest measurement and recorded measurement of depression amongst those 20 and under since they started measuring. So do you think it's important to have some mental well-being? Well, obviously. But there's also some importance for us to have, more importantly, really, to have spiritual well-being. And so I want to talk about the five things that that I got out of that system that I hope to share with you to be encouraging. The first one was really about connecting. So when you think about connections and regarding mental well-being, you need to be able to connect with the people around you. And this is probably where depression begins to really start. And this is probably one of the major issues or one of the major causes of depression amongst young people. And it's this thing. And things related to it. Because, and I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody else. How many times you've been sitting in a conversation, the other person's doing this? Uh-huh. What was it? Uh-huh. It's really tough to have a personal connection with somebody when they can't get their face out of their phone. And whose fault is that? It's yours. You need to have an understanding of the importance of connecting with people in a real sense. I'll give you a quick example, There's a gentleman that I work with, super nice guy. He's been through a lot. He lost his son to an accident. His son's wife was pregnant. She had the child. After the son died, the child was born, and then the child died. And then he had a heart attack, and then another heart attack and a stroke. We went and my wife and I went and visited him on Friday. And I had been texting him, you know, because I keep in touch with him. I see him every day. Super nice guy. He's a janitor where I work, and I talk to him all the time. And I texted him saying, hey, heard about what happened. Really sorry to hear about that. You know, I'm praying for you. God's got a plan for you. He's kept you through this. You know, your family needs you, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't hear anything back from him for a while. Long story short, I could keep texting him. And texting is fine, but it meant so much more to him that I was there. That I went out, I made time, and I shook his hand. And I was there with him. How much more meaningful is it when you can connect with people on a physical level than via text? How much more meaningful was that to him? You know, technology is a great tool. It helps us to keep in touch with people. But the more and more connected we get, technologically speaking, the less connected, directly speaking, we get. This tends to keep us from interacting with the people around us on a personal level. It is so much easier to hide behind a screen or a keyboard. And brethren, it is important for our mental well-being that we seek out personal connections with family and friends and neighbors and colleagues, whether it's here or at work or in our community and all the other things that we interact with on a daily basis. It is so important for us to have connections with people that are real, not simply electronic. Social relationships are absolutely critical to our well-being. Absolutely critical. There's all kinds of interesting information on that. I think you understand the point of it. I'm not going to share it just for the sake of time. But this is also very true in terms of our spiritual relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll just read verse 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are fellow workers." Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, you are a lone worker for the Lord. Do not interact with anybody. Make sure you silo yourself and never talk to anybody. That doesn't work. We are fellow workers with Christ. The first century church truly relied upon each other and they shared freely with one another. Acts chapter 4, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but you look at Acts chapter 4, roughly verse 32 to 35 is the piece that I was focusing on. During times of distress, Christians knew where to go. And you know what they didn't do? They didn't go to the government with their hand out. They knew that they could rely on each other. And as has been mentioned a couple of times this morning, and I mention it often, we need to rely on each other. And sometimes that means that maybe we need to pick each other up. Like maybe we need to go get somebody for assembly, or maybe we need to be there to help somebody with a meal. Or if, and for crying out loud, if you're struggling financially, ask the church. We have money in the bank, guys. And that money is not getting any more valuable. If you need help, you ask. That's why the church is here, guys. I mean, that's one of the reasons. And I know it's not comfortable, and I know it's not easy, and it's not fun, and it might even hurt your pride. But if you need help, please ask. Especially, you know, from a physical perspective, it's simple things. And one of the things that you see the church doing, and I do want to read this, Acts chapter 12, when there was some distress and some things happening in the church, well, what did they do? I'll start in just verse 12. There's a lot going on here in Acts chapter 12. Of course, this is when Peter has been arrested. He's been delivered from that. And then verse 12, we pick it up. "And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John," this is Peter, "who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, and she slammed the door in his face." Of course, you know, I'm paraphrasing. They were together and they were praying. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think you could probably join me on this limb, is that I bet you they weren't praying for health, wealth, and happiness. They were praying for Peter. They were praying for the church. They were praying for each other. They knew what they had committed to was important. And when they got together, because they had nowhere else to go, they got together and they prayed. The Holy Spirit encourages us to pray for opportunity and to pray for boldness. You know, and what I mean, Ephesians chapter 6, we have to go there. I am doing my best to be brief. Ephesians chapter 6, I just want to read verse 18 and through 20. This is, of course, Paul writing. He says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul encourages us to pray for one another. You know, that's one of the things that Brad, pray for the saints, pray for the church around the world, and the kids picked it up. That is fantastic. And it's not just a, oh yeah, I'll do that. Pray for the saints. You may not always know what people are struggling with. You may not always know what people need, but man, the Lord does. So pray for the saints. Our relationship with God and other Christians is so important. We have got to put on Christ, and we cannot do that without knowing who He is. And you know what? Part of how we learn who Jesus is by the church. We learn it by example. We learn it through the Scripture. We learn it by watching and imitating those who are doing it. See, Jesus died to reconcile us to God and to one another. Lots of scriptures we can read there, but of course, one of my favorite ones, it's on the front of my Bible, as a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Christ and the local church are the means by which we can connect. Hebrews chapter 10. Why do you think that assembly is so important? Whether it's 5 people or if it's 500. Assembly is important. This is one of the things that I try to encourage the folks that I study with, to make sure that they make it a point to be to assembly. The last thing I want to do is lay a law on them and throw the book at them. That's the last thing I want. But I want that. What I want them to understand is that when they come here, their idea, their point, their goal in being here is to find somebody and encourage them. And if we all did that, imagine how strong our bonds of unity would be. And they already are. So if we focus on establishing connections related to our mental well-being, we should do the same for our spiritual well-being. These connections that are conducive to our mental well-being, they'll follow. If we're doing the right thing spiritually, guess what? The mental side will come. The mental side will be there. And I'm not saying that there's no reason to have troubles. Maybe sometimes to be depressed. Dude, it's tough sometimes. I understand that. I've been there. I've struggled with it. But that doesn't mean that I give up. That doesn't mean that you should give up either. The next one is to be active. In regards to our mental being, and this is a physical thing, exercise has been shown to improve mood and has been used successfully to reduce depression and anxiety in every single case. Unless you're trying to run a marathon, and then you're just nuts and you need help. But that's a whole nother... No. No. I am not a marathon runner. So, anyway, exercise is good for you. Get out and take a walk. If you can, walk with a friend. Walk with a neighbor. Have a conversation. You know, walk with a brother or sister in Christ. Make it a point to get together with people and do physical things. Maybe it's just cornhole. Maybe it's just in the backyard with a barbecue or something, but do something. Get out. Get some exercise. And of course, in regards to spiritual well-being, our spiritual activity is critical. See, faith without works is dead, right? We cannot exercise our faith without doing something. You know, my dad used to joke, about the finger exercises. Yeah, I exercise every day. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Man, that's some exercise right there. Well, is that your spiritual exercise too? Because this is useless in terms of physical exercise. But if this is what amounts to your spiritual exercise, it's just as useless. So we need to exercise our spiritual minds, our spiritual aspects, so that we can be stronger. See, we've been created in Christ to do things for good works. All kinds of scriptures on that one, right? Ephesians and Titus and Philippians and Colossians and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And right? We've been created for good works. We've been created for a purpose. So get out there and exercise those things. See, we need to understand and embrace our purpose as Christians. And when we do that, that's going to produce activity that develops the character of Christ in each of us. And that the personal evangelism is so important. And I'm not saying that each of us need to be up here, and I know you guys all know that. But like Mr. Toole talked about this morning, man, if you find the donut recipe that has no calories and it tastes fantastic, you are going to tell people. Brethren, you've obviously found something way more valuable. And so our lives should reflect that. And of course, involvement in the work of the local body of Christ provides plenty of opportunity to be active. Whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, or if it's making the coffee, or if it's being willing to do public reading, or if it's maybe you're not up for any of those things. You know what? There's all kinds of other things that can be done. There's carpets that need to be vacuumed. They're not glamorous. Believe me, they're not. We did it a lot when we lived on the West End and I wasn't doing other things. We were here a lot with our kids. You know, you ever try to get a three-year-old distracted kid to vacuum? Or maybe not three, probably five. You know? Spend more time chasing them around than they did actually cleaning anything. But guess what? They learned something from it. Thing is that involvement in here in the local body is so important to our spiritual well-being. The third one is to take notice. As I would say otherwise, another way to put this is pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around you. When we talk about that in regards to mental well-being, when we practice mindful awareness, it can improve both the knowledge we have about ourselves and our mental well-being. There's all kinds of, you know, you can go to the self-help section and there's probably 3,000 books that are written on mindful awareness. And it's not just some nonsense term, but pay attention. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what's going on around you. If you see somebody downtrodden, don't just look away. Go and ask if there's anything you can pray for them about. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a hugger. If you ever need a hug, you let me know. I'll squeeze your guts out. And then you'll forget whatever it was you was wrong. Take notice. Pay attention. We need to reflect on our experiences and the things that we've been grateful for. You know, how many times have you actually, you know, that's why Thanksgiving is so wonderful. Not just because turkey and mashed potatoes are awesome, but because it's an opportunity to really stop and think about what you have been given. Both in the physical sense and in the spiritual, we can be thankful for those kinds of things, to pay attention to those blessings, and to understand the importance that they play in our lives. When we really spend some time to be aware of our spiritual circumstances, it helps us to grow. Years ago, Kevin has since kind of shifted gears a little bit in his message that he continually repeats, and I am thankful for it, but thankful for the fact that he continually repeats. One of them several years ago, and for several years, it was know Jesus, know who you are in Jesus, and know your purpose in Jesus. You know what? Awareness begins with being honest with ourselves and where we are, but also recognizing the blessings that we have in Christ. I tell you what, you look in the these little devices that have ruined our lives in some ways. Man, I tell you what, you flip on any news app and it's bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news, and everything you can see. I mean, whether it's in the political spectrum or the market or world politics or... It is really easy to get drugged down. It is really easy. Yet in terms of our spiritual awareness and our spiritual well-being, if we stop and consider just what we have been given in Christ, just for a second. And you know, one of the things that is amazing about the human condition is that we forget. And I am thankful that we forget some things. I forget probably more than my wife would ever. I thank the Lord every day for my wife because I forget so much. And she's always there to help remind me. But the human condition is one that we forget. And what I mean by that is sometimes we forget what it was like to be on the other side. I mean, there have been several events in my life that I will never forget. One of them was being lost in New Zealand. I honestly thought I was going to die. There's a funny story. I can tell you all later if you haven't heard it already. But I will never forget that. And so I relate that to what it is to be lost, spiritually speaking. And I relate the joy to being found to the joy of being found. So never forget. Take notice. Pay attention. You know, it's evident that our relationships with Christ and with other Christians, that they help us to stay on the narrow path. And especially when we're not here. It's really easy to be relatively focused when we're sitting here. Relatively focused, you know, except for the guys in the back. No, I'm just picking on you. No. But when you get out into the world, it's really easy to get distracted. But the relationships that we have here, they help us to stay on that path when we're away from the assembly. And this reminder also helps us to serve, or helps to serve, as a basis for developing the new creature. Because it makes us aware of our mental environment. You cannot be aware, you cannot go into a battle and not have any awareness of what's going on. It's like the archer who injures everyone. I get a weird picture in my mind, you know, not paying attention. You don't go into a battle not knowing, you're not going to win in a battle if you're not paying attention. The battle is real, guys. It's every day. So this is, of course, the same with step four, and that is keep learning. In regards to mental well-being, learning encourages social interaction, and it increases self-esteem. It increases feelings of competency. It makes us better at our jobs, makes us better at our relationships, and it makes us more self-sufficient. Striving towards personal goals that reflect deeply held values rather than being driven by external rewards is more likely to produce a lasting sense of satisfaction. I'm going to brag on my wife a little bit. She is a learner. And when she gets attached to a subject, she will research it until it is exhausted. She has an exhaustive amount of knowledge about it. And she knows so many things. And I'm thankful for her because guess what? She is my best study partner. When I take her to a Bible study, it is amazing how many times she's able to pull stuff out and go, hey, speaking of this, this is what happened, you know, this is from history and this is how that worked. And I mean, she's filled it. It's great. She loves to play music. She's learned instruments. I can hand her a stringed instrument and she figures out how to play it. I've had the same guitar for many years. And I can play a chord. Anyway. The thing is that learning is so important. And of course, when it relates to our spiritual well-being, we are to grow in grace and knowledge. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We are to learn. This book is not, you know, I don't think I was Mr. Simpson, I think was the first one that mentioned it. It's not osmosis. You can't sleep on it. You can't put it under your pillow. You know, you can't lie in a hammock in the backyard and put it on your face and then absorb all the information. This is not the Matrix. You got to read it. You got to do it. You got to practice it. And then you got to do it again. And you get better and better and better and better at it. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, just for the sake of your, if you're taking notes. The primary function of the local church is to equip the saints for the work of service. This is why we're here. This is why we're here, guys. As much as I have talked about the fact that we want to come together to encourage one another, the purpose of you being here is to be edified, to be built up, to be equipped to carry out your purpose. And that is the purpose of the preaching and teaching that is here. And I'm thankful that we do that. Whether it's, and that's Ephesians chapter 4. Whether it's through messages or Bible classes, midweek studies, getting involved in one-on-one studies, group studies, prayer, reading our Bibles, we continue to learn and we can grow. And that's the only way that we're ever really going to overcome the challenges of this world. Again, involvement with the local congregation helps both mental and spiritual well-being. The latter, of course, the spiritual, being really the most important part because the mental will follow. Finally, I want to talk about the last step that was suggested by this particular program. It was called give. In regards to mental well-being, the practicing random acts of kindness, thanking someone, smiling, no joke, if you smile, your mood will automatically improve. It has been researched, it has been talked about, we did this with our kids, you know, smile. Making the mental effort to smile, even when you don't want to, has a huge impact. And it can get the ball rolling. How about a couple of other things? How about volunteering your time? I'm a busy person. I'm not tooting my own horn. Sometimes I wish I wasn't so busy. But I am a busy person. But I tell you what, even in all the things that I do throughout a week, the things that I enjoy the most are the things that bring me no monetary reward. The things that cost me money are the things that I enjoy the most. Flat out, hands down. There are volunteer opportunities with my job where we get involved with charities. I love doing those things. Because guess what? I get to meet new people. I get to know the people better that I work with outside of the office. And those things bring me joy. Volunteering is a huge, huge benefit. If you can do it, volunteer. Find something to do. It's a great way to meet people. And of course, other ways of getting involved with your local community starts with your neighbors. I mean, if you're in a situation where you have neighbors, because I don't think any of us lives on an island or I know. Kevin's got his castle built and he lives in the top ramparts and he lets his hair down. No. We all have neighbors, right? When was the last time you talked to them? I'm not asking you to try to answer that. Oh, hey, hi, Bill. You just cross the street. Start, if you want to have a better community, where does it start? Oh, it starts with your guy across the street. Not Bill. Bill's already doing it. It starts with somebody, everybody else but me. No, it starts with you. And I know it sounds hokey, but it's true. You want to have a good community? Starts with you. And of course, in all of this, whether people who actively, it's interesting because there's some all kinds of interesting statistics, I won't bother you with them, but individuals that are actively engaged in their communities report higher well-being on a much higher level. So people who get involved with something in their community are much happier. They have much better mental well-being. And of course, in regards to spiritual well-being, I have so many verses we could cover on this, but I'll just give you a couple. Who was it? I know it's in the New Testament, and it just escaped me. But somebody said once that it was more blessed to give than to receive. Who was it that said that? Oh, I can't remember his name. Oh, that's right! It was Jesus who said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I think maybe he had some insight on that. And how about Paul when he writes to the Corinthians and he says, God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? And how about Jesus taught that when we give, we are blessed in return. Even if we don't get anything else physical out of it, we're blessed when we give. And in the church, in the congregation, we can give our time, we can give our service, we can give our money. And those things are great. But get involved. You know, there's a lot more I could say, but I just want to leave you with these things, just to kind of wrap these up, just to remind you. Get out there and connect. Put your phone down. Talk to the people that are next to you. Look up. Connect with people. Be active. Get out. Do something. Take notice and pay attention to the things that are around you. And remember the blessings that you have. Keep learning. Keep studying the scriptures. There's always more to learn. Something occurred to me the other day that I was talking to Nolan about, and it really excites me, and I'm digging in. It's cool stuff. So, I don't know. He'll probably share it with you someday. And then, of course, the last one is to give. Guys, it doesn't cost you anything to give. Give you your time. Give somebody a hug if they need it, unless they don't want it. You know, I know some people aren't huggers, which just boggles my mind. Oh, it's all right. But it doesn't cost you anything to give people a smile. You know? So I hope that I've illustrated these steps to the point where they can help you, that you can leave with something to think about. You know, if we apply these things in our physical lives and in the spiritual lives, we're all going to be so much better off. We're all going to be much more encouraged and encouraging, and we'll be able to change the world. Our lights will shine just a little bit brighter. Thank you for your time.